It is Christmas month, and throughout the Christmas month, we're going to be talking about one particular aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be emphasizing who he really is. Not everybody believes that he is the Son of God, but we certainly want to look at that. Who is Jesus? That's a huge question, because not everybody believes that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, if you put that question into the computer, Google particularly, you'll get about 600 million answers, because not everybody believes that Jesus was the Son of God. In fact, there are many people who do not believe that Jesus was any more than a particular guy. Most people believe that there was a guy who was named Jesus, who lived in the time of Caesar Augustus, but they certainly do not believe that he was anything special. So I wouldn't encourage you to Google. You might get a little confused over 200 million results, but we're going to try and figure that out today. If Jesus was not the Son of God, we're in big trouble. If Jesus was not the Son of God, then everything that we teach and preach about Jesus Christ is not true. And if it isn't true, then we have believed a huge lie. So, to begin with this morning, we're going to be looking at Luke, the first chapter, and it's a great passage of Scripture, and this is what it says. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a virgin pledged to be married to Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored with the Lord." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might really be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Notice what the scripture says here. God himself sent the angel Gabriel to Mary and gave her the news. She wasn't expecting that. This was news all brand new to her. And if you can kind of put yourself in her position, she would be a little bit shocked and was a little bit shocked. In fact, she was a lot shocked. "You're going to have a baby." "Well, that's impossible. I have never known a man. So how in the world am I going to have a baby? Because the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you and you will become pregnant. And the child that you will have will be named Jesus." Well, she thought about that, and she finally came to the conclusion, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. It was God himself who sent the angel Gabriel to Mary to give her the news. You're going to have a baby conceived by an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. And this is where a lot of people have a problem. They cannot conceive of Mary having a baby without the normal procedure of having a relationship with a man. But the scripture says that it was the work of the Holy Spirit that brought about her pregnancy. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. He will be the Son of God. And that's the real issue that we have to consider, because not everybody believes that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that he's just a guy, had a few unique things about him, probably pretty effervescent in his relationship with people. He could talk to people easily. He was able to do some things that people didn't understand. But whether he was the Son of God, born of a virgin, has been a real challenge for people for all these years. So how do we really determine whether God was his father? How do we actually determine whether Jesus really and truly was the Son of God? Where would we look? The only place I discovered that we look is in the Word of God. You can look at a lot of other situations, and there will be some who say it's a stupid thing to believe. There are others who say, yes, he was the Son of God. And there would be a great plethora of information out there that says, no, he was not the Son of God. Now, if he was not the Son of God, we're in trouble. We shouldn't even be here this morning. If he was not the Son of God, we're still in our sin. It's the same thing with the resurrection. If Jesus was not really the Son of God, then everything that we teach, everything that we, these things that we sing, all of this is ludicrous if he was not the Son of God. So the only place that I have found out that really emphasizes the fact that he is the Son of God is the Word of God. And if we believe the Bible is the Word of God, then we have to trust what it says about Jesus and who he was. God said, this is my Son. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. There he was, transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. We're talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. A bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And that's from Matthew 17, verses 1 through 5. So this is God declaring that Jesus was actually his Son. I don't know where else we're going to find that information. We could look at the Jewish writings, and there are a couple of things in those writings that say that Jesus was the Son of God. Several times in Scripture, God verified that Jesus was his Son. And if we don't believe that, if we don't understand that, as the Apostle Paul said, we are most miserable people because we have believed a lie. When he was baptized, three of the accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all verify that Jesus spoke and said, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." When Jesus took Peter, James, and John on a mountain, and Jesus was transformed before them, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love." This is my son. This is Jesus. This is God the Father saying, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Listen to him. From Matthew 17, 1 through 5 again. That again was God's eternal and awesome speaking. If you can trust anyone, you can trust the Father. You can trust God. God said it. I believe it. So far as I'm concerned, that settles it. I don't have to go looking in all these millions of answers. All I have to do is go to the Word of God. And for me, that settles it. I don't know what it does for you, but I don't know where else you're going to find out whether Jesus was really the Son of God. So if God said it, that should settle it for us, shouldn't it? Well, praise the Lord for one amen. Others decline that Jesus is the Son of God. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, good question, "Who do people say that I really am?" Well, they replied, "Some say that you are John the Baptist." See, they didn't say that Jesus was the Son of God. They said, "Some say you are John the Baptist." They probably believed in reincarnation. Others say Elijah. And still others say Jeremiah. You see, they didn't say that Jesus was the Son of God. They thought that he was the reincarnation of some of the prophets. Or some of the prophets. But Jesus said, "But what about you?" And that's a good question for us. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus really is? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, praise the Lord. But as Jesus went on to say, you didn't come up with that all by yourself. The Holy Spirit put that into your heart and into your mind so that you would know the truth. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. Over and over, the Apostle Paul declared that Jesus was the Son of God. The scripture says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, under the law to redeem those under the law." Hebrews says, "In these last days, God has spoken to us," how? "By his son." The Apostle John wrote, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." The book of Revelation says, "These are the words of the Son of God." So over and over and over, the scripture emphasizes that Jesus was the Son of God, but still not everybody believed. The religious leaders of that day did not believe that there was anything special about Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, "Well, don't don't believe me because of what the Word says. If nothing else, believe me because of the miracles that I have done. And there are 37 main miracles that Jesus did in the New Testament. And you have to really think about what those miracles all mean, because not an individual person could do those miracles. You had to be the Son of God. Because of Jesus, I can certainly become a child of God. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This verse is far, far one of those verses that emphasizes a definite decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, a definite decision that Jesus was the Son of God. When you personally believe that Jesus died for your sins, you want to accept that death, burial, and resurrection. That's pretty simple. Jesus declared, I believe in you. I died for you. I was resurrected for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Right now is what we want. We want to receive you into my heart, into my life, into my being. The Apostle Paul emphasized this in Corinthians. He said, and he was talking about the resurrection, because there were those in his day who said there was no resurrection, just like there were those in his day who said, Jesus is just a normal person. There's nothing special about him. He's not the Son of God. He's a fake. He has just done some things that caused people to open their eyes and think that Jesus was a special person. Well, when you do that, when you accept Jesus Christ as who he really is, and you receive him into your heart and into your life, he says, welcome to the family of God. And you have the gift of eternal life. It's like the Father wrapping his arms around you and welcoming you home as his son or daughter. All I can say is thank you, Jesus. As you know, I wasn't a Christian. Wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't believe anything about Jesus. I thought it was all a hokey-pokey situation. We went to church during Christmas season once. And the reason we went is because they had a big sack of candy and some fruit. And me and my brother really enjoyed that. So that was my perception of Jesus. Handed out fruit. Handed out candy. So far as being special, didn't believe that at all. Had no perception that Jesus was any more than an individual person who had some special characteristics. But God, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, gives you the Holy Spirit as your helper, and he does do that. We all fall and fail in many, many respects, but God is faithful. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He still loves us. If you have never done this, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to think about it right now. Let this verse sink deeply into your hearts. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So, Father, Son indicates relationship. That's really an important thought. the relationship that God the Son had with his dad, with his father. I think all of you enjoy relationships. Amen? You enjoy relationships with your children, with your grandchildren, with your great-grandchildren. And when they get to be so many, you hope that maybe it'll stop. But it doesn't seem to. We have another one on the way. And we also had the celebration of one of our grandson's engagement. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know what it's going to be like in a couple of years if we're still around and are able to look out on holy pandemonium. And that's what it is. As I was talking to somebody back there, we stopped at, where'd we stop? Where'd we stop, Gwen? In Hayes. Huh? You can't hear me? Where did we stop in Hayes? For a cup of coffee? Wendy's. Well, we sat behind a guy. He had four children in the booth with him. And those four children fought over straws. I mean, this one child said, "That straw is my straw." I mean, it looked like every other straw, but they all fought over straws. That's children. Praise the Lord, he was able to straighten them out. But what I'm getting at is it's easy for us to destroy relationships, but we have a wonderful example of a relationship between father and son in God and the Holy and Jesus Christ. They had a relationship before Jesus was sent to this earth to become the Savior of the world. So that father-son relationship is really important. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, according to Hebrews 1, verses 2-3, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of glory, of God's glory, and the exact representation of his nature. That's a powerful passage of Scripture. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. I want you to think about that. He's not just an ordinary man. He's the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of the being of the Father. And they had that tight relationship from before he came to this earth to become a sacrifice for our sins. And he had that relationship afterwards. And that relationship is tremendously important. And that's one reason why we like relationships. We like a relationship with our friends, with our family, with our spouses. This relationship gives us insight into deep relationships which the Father and the Son had. And we need to look at that constantly and continually. The Son had such a powerful relationship with the Father that the Father gave him all authority to create the heavens and the earth and to become the one who would make it possible for us to know Jesus Christ personally as our Savior. Relationship speaks of a common bond. It speaks of friendship. It speaks of spending time together and fellowshipping with one another. And that's why we have been given the Word, so that we can have that relationship with Jesus Christ, the kind of relationship that Jesus Christ had with the Father over and over and over again. He is called the Son of God, the Son of God. He couldn't be what he is or what he was if he was not the Son of God. And Jesus said to the doubters, he said, well, don't believe me for what the scripture says. Don't believe me for what people say about me. Believe who I am because of the miracles that I have done. And if you go through the New Testament, you can find more than 37 miracles, but I have selected 37 of the main miracles that Jesus performed. Twice he raised people from the dead. He turned water into wine. Not that that's a great big deal. Wasn't too hard for Jesus to do that. But 37 miracles, and he said to the doubters, if you don't want to believe who I am, believe me simply because of the miracles that I have accomplished. Nobody could accomplish those miracles unless they were the Son of God. So we're thankful for that. How is your relationship with the Son? How is your relationship with the Father? How is your relationship with the Father and the Son? Can you relate to what I'm talking about? I believe you can. As humans, one of our greatest needs is a relationship. We don't want to be alone. God made us that way. We need one another. We need one another on this earth. And if we are a child of God, we need relationships with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. In closing this morning, I got to hurry up because we have hanging of the greens and all that. I'd give you four things to do. Spend time with God in prayer and Bible study. Talk to God about everything. Doesn't make any difference what it is. Talk to God about it. Ask God for his advice. Then pay attention to his advice found in his word. Our lives would be a whole lot better if we always ask God for advice. Confess your sins again to God. The scripture says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there isn't a day that goes by that we don't sin. So when we do something wrong in any way, shape, or form, confess it to God because he will take care of it. I'm sure that most of you have heard about Helen Keller. A childhood disease left her both blind and deaf. Ann Sullivan came to Keller's home to attempt to teach Helen. It was not an easy task. Helen was very smart, but just as smart as she was stubborn. Rebellious and undisciplined. And Ann Sullivan just about lost her mind trying to teach Helen Keller. Helen showed a huge amount of, Ann showed a huge amount of love and patience as she worked with Helen. It took time, but finally she was able to help Helen understand. They developed a tapping code. I read about what that was, but it was pretty complicated. And Helen understood it. And suddenly Helen's mind was opened when Ann Sullivan tapped the love of God. One day Miss Sullivan tapped that, and Helen opened her heart and her mind to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it made such a profound difference in her life from that point on. Much to her surprise, Helen spelled back and said, you know, I do know God. God has helped me all these years in my blindness and my deafness. So even though Helen Keller was blind and deaf, she knew God, and her relationship to God expanded as she was able to tap this code with Ann Sullivan. So please take time to ponder this question. How is your relationship with the Father and the Son? If you desire to strengthen your relationship to God, do it. If you can pray, you can help. We can help you in any way. We'd love to do it. We'd love to pray with you, teach you. So this morning we're going to close with a hymn of invitation. And as always, if there's something that you need to do, we are here to help you, to be with you, to encourage you, and to help you grow in your relationship to the Lord. Let's be standing as we sing together.
Come, let us worship the King, Jesus.